Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Froth, a place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable, a spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is...
The Froth. Yesterday's non-news today.
This week's podcast was recorded in Pembrokeshire. Our special guest is Rob Rouse, who joined us remotely, and Barry is producing.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content.
The headlines this week.
Me and the farmer like brother like sister, getting on like hand and blister. Me and the farmer, unknown farmer, flags Rod down in the middle of the road and offers him 50 pence.
The smile on your face lets me know that you need me, but you smell it best when you smell of nothing at all. Perfume that smells of nothing at all but costs £72 flies off the shelves.
Sean's lies. Sean tells an untrue story about her perfume that certainly does smell of something, or it would if the story were true.
How much is that doggy in the window? Ruff, ruff, ruff. The one delivery drivers have been warned about. Hartlepool man warns pizza delivery driver to watch out for his dog, who's a bit of a twat.
And those are the headlines.
It is time to meet our very special guest this week. It is Mr. Robert Rouse.
Woo!
Hello!
Robert Rouse, who appears to be wearing a wig.
Yes.
And he's on a desert island.
It
was what was stipulated when I moved to Hawaii was that I had to wear a wig that, as he pointed out in soundcheck, makes me look vaguely like a Leslie Nielsen character.
Yes. See, the reason I thought it was a wig, Rob, was because yeah. I can see from your background it's quite windy where you are. Your hair's
very windy, yeah.
It looks like it's been glued
on. It hasn't moved.
Like
your...
with carpet glue.
That's Elnett and Bostick.
Elnett, the grandmother's choice. It is. You're there on a Zoom background of Hawaii. The trees, the palm trees are swayed in the wind, but your hair has not budged.
And I tell you, it is not going anywhere, Rodri. It is not going anywhere at all.
It's very high.
I tell you what,
high, isn't it?
Yeah. Most people have got sort of like, you know, rangy, straggly, long lockdown hair. That's what I've got. And then I've got a big old bushy white beard. You've got sort of really boofy, sort of 80s, like almost like a Dickie Dave, sort of 80s sports presenter.
Yeah. Let me see what I can do.
Do you know who it is? It's Emlyn Hughes. Emlyn Hughes.
Yeah, it's Emlyn Hughes.
Emlyn Hughes.
In real life, it's quite big, but the... Oh
my God, now you look like Emlyn Hughes.
So
that's right.
The software makes it look incredibly wig-like. It's like I'm constantly being cut out of a magazine.
Oh, that's isn't what it is. That's what it is. It's because you're on a Zoom virtual background.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Shit! Oh, bollock! I just turned round and there was no beach.
Oh, mate.
Oh, shit.
We have bought... Now, this is our... You know, some people are on lockdown.
Mm.
Some people have done some strange things on lockdown.
Yeah.
Have you, just quickly, Rob, have you made any strange decisions that have been born out of the lockdown process that you think you might go, what? Why did I do that? I think it's because of lockdown. I'm going to regret this decision.
You know, it's so many decisions I've made in my life are hard to pick apart in terms of strangeness as pre and post lockdown.
Right.
Keeping a duck indoors.
That was years before lockdown. You cannot blame COVID for that.
I know exactly.
Thing to do,
children, all sorts of things. Show business. You know, all of it. It's hard.
Okay, well, let me put this to you.
Yeah.
Let me put this to you. I know people who've done some strange things. Right? For example, Barry. Let's take Barry as a good example. There he is, Barry Castagnoli.
What have I done?
Friend. You got that Action Man stuck up your bum, Barry.
Still.
That was lockdown.
That was 2 weeks before lockdown that went up.
Yep.
Got to. Couldn't see a doctor.
He was the canary in the mine that indicated lockdown was on the way, though. When Barry sticks an Action Man up his bum, we know something's going to happen nationally.
We knew it was going to be big.
It's like the animals running in land before the wave comes in.
Barry hasn't done anything mad.
What have I done?
Right. Okay. So lockdown decisions, I'm calling this feature.
Oh, yeah.
Barry bought a Labradoodle. Full size.
A full size
Labradoodle. Despite the fact that his house is normal size and the Labradoodle
small,
is clearly...
Small, if anything, my house.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it. Barry lives in
a Bijou.
A compact and Bijou, beautiful house, but it is not beautiful. Big enough for a Labradoodle. I told him that. He said, I'm getting a Labradoodle. I said, that is a lockdown decision, Barry. It's a lockdown decision. A Labradoodle, I said to him, these are my words. I said, that dog, give him 3 months and he's going to be wearing your house like a gilet. He's going to be his head out the chimney, his arms out of it, one of each bedroom window. Stick. And total lockdown decision by a massive Labradoodle. And Barry, at what point? So how old is he now? 3 months?
He's 4.5 months.
Four and a half months now.
Yeah. And we just were at the park earlier and there was a dog that was honestly a quarter of its size. It was a golden retriever. And I said, how old? She went, 3 months. he's so big. I took it to a coffee shop and the guy wouldn't believe it was the same animal from 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God.
Not even dog, animal.
Probably the same species.
What kind of, for dog poo bags, are you just utilising old supermarket carrier bags? Now,
yeah,
bag
for life.
Yeah.
The strongest brand new bag for life.
For compost.
He's using rubble sacks.
Yeah. 60 litres when filled.
Yeah. You order a ton of wood from a log place. The garden bags, they come in with a big...
We've got a skip and a forklift in the front garden.
Exactly. Every time you walk past Travis Perkins, just pop in and see if they've got any spare bags.
That is Barry's lockdown decision.
It wasn't actually a lockdown decision, to be fair.
It was a lockdown decision.
It was also a cat, an old cat dying. But as you made me feel bad as well, because you had to go at me because I was looking at dogs before it actually died. Before the cat.
Barry was looking at replacement dogs with the cat. What is
I had the phone turned away.
Poor old Malcolm. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Malcolm.
It was lovely, Malcolm. He's less hassle, I'll say that much. I love Alan, but cool. Now he's getting big.
Where's lovely name shops? For
great dog.
Great name for the dog, Alan, I think. Because when
Big Alan,
when he's yeah. Big Al! Big Al! Big Al! Big Al! Sounds good shouting it in a park, doesn't it?
Totally.
Yeah, it's less good on Zoom, I have to say, with headphones.
On a tropical island.
Lockdown decisions. Anyway, Sian and I have gone a slightly different way with it. So Barry's bought a dog.
Barry's bought a big dog.
Barry's bought a very big dog. That's too big. And Rob was hard to tell what are lockdown decisions and what aren't with decisions
Rob
like that over the course of his life.
Strange decisions anyway.
Makes strange decisions anyway. Sian and I have bought on lockdown.
Ba-ba-da-ba.
Total lockdown decision. lockdown in London, the whole time we've been locked down in London,
yeah.
Sian and I decided that despite the fact that I can't do any DIY and Sian can do less, we have decided to buy some fields.
A field.
Some
well, more
land.
Two, yes, more than one field.
I don't even know how a few fields. a few fields.
Yeah.
And there I am, walking near the fields. A little Welsh farmer came up to me in the street. Right, he stopped his car next to me. I was walking the dog. And he said, hey, I'm coming to see you now. And I said, all right. He said, who are you? And he said,
who
oh. I said, who are you? He said, oh, so-and-so sent me. I was like, oh, all right. I don't know them either, but okay. And he went, I hear you got land. I want to put sheep on. Actually, he said, I got these fucking sheep. Word for word. I got these fucking sheep. I was like, right, okay. And then he went... I said, okay, yeah, we are looking for people for sheep on the land. I said, they've got to be organic. Yeah, yeah, no problem, no problem. And then he said, 50p. And I was like, fucking having a... My face, I honestly, this is... I looked at him and I didn't have... I was too embarrassed to say, I have no idea what 50p refers... Is that... Are you... What does that even...
Is that he'll give you 50p per sheep that
well,
is allowed
I've looked
to eat
into
your
it.
Grass?
I've yeah. looked into it.
Yeah.
And it is slightly on the low side, I've discovered.
Okay.
But it's at the bottom end of... But it is, he said, 50p per ewe. So per ewe, for every female sheep, I've looked into it. And what he was talking about is a weekly price to put one sheep on my lap. I was looking at him going, I don't know if you're A, joking,
yep.
B, if you're talking about the whole flock per year, which seems low, 50p. I have no idea, per acre, we have no idea.
You're way out of your depth. And it's not one of those things, is it, where you can go get three quotes and then pick the middle one. Like you could speak to a couple of other prospective people who want to let their sheep graze.
So far, you've got very good DIY skills, Rob, right?
Hey, I tell you what, I'll happily, when we're allowed to, I can come in and do some DIY for you.
Come down and service our sheep.
Whatever you need. Let's face it, live comedy is still in the shitter, and it could be for a while. So I'll come and do some DIY.
Sheep farming is the future for all of us comedians.
Absolutely.
What is the going rate, Rod, for sheep?
So I threw it out there. I've thrown it out there to some of my more clued in, more farmery type friends. And a 50p is on the low side, apparently. I do know somebody who's had as high as 90p per ewe.
Really?
She said, well, I get 90p. But then she said, but I do drive a hard bargain.
I reckon you guys, having spent all this time in London, now you're Wales sheep farming, you should bring a bit of London in. So when he says, oh, I give you 50p a year, we go, mate, you're having a fucking laugh, are you, mate? What's this guy's? Who the fuck do you think I am?
50p a
year. I was fucking
you,
bored yesterday. I'll
do
have 90p a year.
Have I got mud written on my head?
Yeah.
Listen, we've done... I can't do DIY. So we got no DIY skills.
None.
Literally nothing. Sian's not even got any interest in any of this. I'm quite curious about it. So I got hold of a hedge trimmer, and I thought, right, here we go.
Petrol driven, Rod. Petrol driven.
No, plug in for now.
Electric. You're an absolute mug.
I have been trying to make the first step of a transition from townie to organic sheep farmer. I literally cannot put a shelf up. I cannot do any DIY whatsoever. My skills extend. I can change a bulb, and I used to work in Currys when I was a kid, so I can change a plug. Yeah. That is it.
Have you ever seen the start of Casualty? It's always like, be careful up there, Dad, with that electric trimmer and the hedge and the wire and everything. Don't worry, son, I've got it. And then you're in. Yeah,
so this is what happened. So I thought, this is my first... What can I do around this that we bought? I'm looking around going, no, can't do that. That needs... Can't do that. Can't
Hang
do
on, you were looking around whilst holding a hedge
no,
trimmer.
No, I haven't got to the hedge trimmer
right.
yet. And then I saw over there, I had a tree guy come round, right? A tree, an arboreal, a tree expert, because we've got trees here. I didn't even know what they were. I don't know what to do with them. So he talked me through the trees. And I thought, right, okay. And then I said, can you do our trees for us? Yes, good. I said, then we started talking about hedges and things, and he said, you know, you can just do these. You don't need me. You can just do these with a normal hedge trimmer. And I said, okay. And you can, he said, yeah, you can take about a foot or two off this hedge, and then you'll need a chainsaw. Mm. And I was like thinking, I'm not going near a chainsaw, but I will try a little hedge trimmer. So a little electric hedge trimmer, the gentlest of the gentle hedge trimmer. And I started just shaving down. It's about 30 metres of hedge. You know, I started just shaving it down. It's going really well. It's going well. But then the bits of wood coming off the were hitting me in the face. And I thought, hang on a minute. Okay, put it down. Put the safety catch on. Put it down. I need goggles. Now, the only ones I've got are swimming goggles. Or I thought, I won't wear those because the vision's not great with them. I thought, I'll wear my glasses. I've got driving glasses, Gucci frames. I've had them for years. Quite expensive designer glasses, you know. I thought, I'll wear those. I'll put them on. Brilliant. Now, I've got my protective eyewear on. I'm taking the hedge down bit by bit by bit. It's going really well, really neat. Really, we're happy with it. I stood back at the end, couldn't believe it. It is perfect. And I'm like, I think I am going to get the hang of this. I'm going to become a sheep farmer, right? And then I thought, where are my glasses? And I started my glasses, I don't know where they are. So I started raking up the leaves, and in amongst all the leaves that I'd cut, my glasses must have fallen off, and then I've sawed them in half before they hit the floor. In half.
Oh my God.
My glasses.
Terrifying.
But out off the back of that, Rod, I'm going to offer you 25p a sheep.
I think I was born yet. I got 50, off on 50 yesterday, mate.
So, Rob, you're really in your garage, right?
I'm in my garage, but you're very lucky to have me here because I have currently got very dry hands.
Did you nearly call in sick?
Yeah, I nearly called in sick because I got very dry hands.
Dry hands.
Yeah, from the, you know, it's locked down. But more than anything, beyond sanitising, it's the changing of the seasons for me.
Is it? But
yeah,
when you go into spring, because I get going into winter, but not going into like nicer, milder environment.
That doesn't work at all, Rob.
I think what happens as I move into spring, I shed my winter coat, coat of skin, to develop my softer...
Maybe that's why your hair's standing out so much.
It could be.
It's because you've shed the rest of it.
It's my whole self-image is a disaster today. There's nothing I can do about it. And I've put my best people on it. But I can't change it. I can't do anything about it.
You've put on hand cream, have you, for this show?
Yes, I'm using... this is not a plug, but I do buy their products. This is E45 cream.
Oh, yeah.
There
Love
we go.
E45.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, isn't it?
It's amazing.
It's called an emollient light liquid paraffin anhydrous lanolin.
It's non-scented, isn't it?
Yeah, it's non-scented, hypoallergenic.
What do you rub into your skin in Wales? Never mind that.
Welsh
because, I cannot ignore a potential link and segue there that Barry has given me, offered me up on a silver platter.
Go on.
I have got a story. Your first frothy story of the week.
Yeah.
So here's your first frothy story.
Go on.
And I can't believe that. What a segue. You said there's no smell in that E45 cream.
Oh.
And my first frothy story for you, Rob Rouse, Barry Castagnoli, and Sian Harris. Perfume with no smell flies off the shelf. How about that? Sales of a pricey perfume are soaring, even though it smells of almost nothing.
Go on.
Molecule 01. It's not the sexiest name, is it?
What's the advert?
Molecule 01 for men.
Yeah, trying to really, really nail the physicist market.
sounds slightly Irish.
Because you know, usually with perfume adverts, it's like a woman on a beach going shh, do you mean the black and white and stuff? Like, what's this molecule thing?
Long gone. My friend's
a man in a white coat going...
Molecule 01.
Rob Rouse on a beach with a wig on.
Molecule 01.
I'm very conscious of my wig.
Molecule 01 costs £72 for a 100 milliliter bottle. It's a single chemical which boosts other are the pongs. When it comes into contact with pheromones on the skin, it produces a scent unique to each person.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, this sounds like the world's greatest con.
It's such a con, doesn't it? Who came up with this? It sounds like the emperor's new clothes.
It's £72. What does it smell of? Nothing at all.
It smells of you.
Yeah, it's
right.
But listen to what it says here. Imagine trying to sell this to someone in not Debenhams. That's closed down, isn't it? What's Selfridges? Yeah.
That closed down.
You're in Selfridges.
Oh, mate.
It's probably because of this. Selfridges. You're in Selfridges.
It's an airport.
You're on the perfume counter in Selfridges trying to sell this. It's £72 a bottle. There's no smell, right? It produces a scent unique to each person, but the wearer often cannot detect it. So you don't...
Oh, my God.
I'm just trying to sell... That's a hard sell to somebody at a perfume counter. Oh, no, you smell amazing, but I can't smell anything. It doesn't smell anything. I can't smell anything at all. Oh, no, you smell great. Oh, £72 then.
I once bought a perfume where the woman...
Oh, no. What? No, Barry, get the jingle.
It's not a lie.
Get the Sian's Lies jingle.
There was a perfume.
Sian's Lies.
No. There was a perfume.
Okay, Rob, we should let you know that Sian's Lies have their own jingle. Sian tells lies.
This is Rod's
fantastic. I will harmonise on the next Sian's Lies jingle.
Thanks,
okay. Love. Okay, do you want to do this one? Let's do one.
Yes,
let's do it. Sian's Lies.
I bought a perfume from Covent Garden. Yeah. And it's supposed to smell of bluebells. Right. And the woman in the shop is like, Kate Moss apparently has it, right? And it does smell of bluebells on some people, but on other people, it can smell of cat's piss. And you don't know until it's kind of sat in for a bit. So I was like, ooh, Kate Moss, yeah, maybe I'm like her. You know, me and her, we're probably the same, right? And I put it on. And I bought it, and it smells like cat's piss on me, like properly.
Yeah, but mind you, I've met Kate Moss. I was going to say Kate Bush.
What does that mean?
I've met Kate Moss.
Does she smell like cat's piss?
Yeah, she smells like my mother's gooseberry bushes.
But maybe, Sian, if Kate Moss rubs, kind of like a standard or a simple anything perfumed on her, maybe everything she puts on makes her smell like cat piss.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, it's a bit of imperial leather. So she smells like a litter tray.
Did I tell you about when I flew to America on Christmas Day once, and I ended up buying some Icelandic... Yeah. Anti-aging bio effect serum.
Tell us again, Baz. This is great.
Yes, tell us again. So,
Barry, you don't need it. Barry has got absolutely flawless skin. I think I mention this every time I'm on this podcast, but I had the great privilege of being asked to rub sun cream over Barry's body in Dubai. And I'm going to tell you again.
Yeah, because we talked about it, even his gizzard's neck.
Absolutely flawless. Absolutely flawless. You will not find more flawless skin than on Mr. Castagnola.
Barry's got a turkey gizzard's neck, apart from
it's not
he's got
too
flawless
bad today.
Skin all over his body. It's not
too bad today. You wear your roll neck.
He has got a wattle.
So, Rob, I was flying to America to see family at Christmas a few years ago, and I was really tired. And I got on the plane. I was it's Christmas Day. Got a bit drunk. I got an upgrade. I had some points. And I got
that's because you got great skin.
And I'm sat there, and I've had a few drinks. It's Christmas Day, and I'm looking through the in-flight duty-free products, and I saw
Don't need that.
Anti-aging bio effect serum. And I just been to the bathroom, and normally those bathrooms make you look better, but this one definitely made me look worse in the bathroom. I came out a bit drunk. I bought some, and it was like 100. I just googled it a second ago. It's $165 for 15 milliliters, right? And I bought
15
some.
15 milliliters.
That's when you're on a plane, your skin is so dry on a plane. It makes you look really awful.
So I bought some. And then I ended up meeting
him,
some mates and going to Vegas. I hadn't even used it. I left it in a hotel room in Las Vegas.
Didn't need it.
I called the hotel just because I was like, I hadn't even used it. And I thought, all right, I want to get that back. So I called the hotel after I'd left. I realized I'd left it there. I was too embarrassed to say what it was. So I just said I left some medication in the room. And they didn't have it. So I'd lost it. So on the way home, I thought, all right, I'm going to get some again. So I bought another one. And then accidentally knocked it down the sink when I got home and just lost all of it. So I spent over £300 on anti-aging serum.
You spent more money on skincare than I ever have. And you didn't use any of it.
I had literally one go. At best,
at least you got one go out of it. Yeah.
Best,
it was 15 milliliters, to be fair.
Took a couple of weeks off me, yeah.
Barry.
Now, this perfumeless perfume.
Oh, God.
Molecule 01
mm-hmm.
has become the best-selling fragrance ever at,
no
Harvey,
way.
At Harvey Nichols.
Oh, God. People who shop there are mad.
Unbelievable.
They're mental. I mean, they deserve to buy yeah.
It's got
nothing.
No scent. No scent. Almost no scent. And you can't yeah. smell it on you. And they're managing to flog that at 72 quid a bottle. It's well, the best selling.
Hey, I tell you what, everyone. We should start developing our own perfume with no scent and just and sell it for £62.
Yeah.
I mean, this is proper it's only fools and horses territory, isn't it?
It's proper.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like homeopathy or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's homeopathy. Spot
look at
on.
This. The store's former boss, Daniela Rinaldi, said she placed a huge order after trying the perfume, adding, "People say to me all the time, you smell amazing, but I can't smell it."
You smell amazing if you like turnips. Because it could make you smell of anything random, couldn't it? Like cabbage and suddenly you're covered in caterpillars.
Oh, get this. Maker right. Eccentric Molecules says it's going to bring out more perfumes and no fragrance.
Well, like
it's a whole fucking range.
Oh my God.
Well, if you've got one, no, you might as well get the others.
That's incredible, isn't it?
And that is, I'm having an existential crisis after
Hang
that
on.
Story.
That means that you care more about what other think you, well, obviously you do anyway, don't you? I don't know. Do you think you
I don't
care
know.
More about what other people think you smell like than yourself? It,
I don't like, know. I'm having a nervous breakdown thinking about the fact there's a range.
What does it do? Does it react? Is there a chemical reaction then? What,
yeah,
I don't get it.
All it says, when it comes into contact with pheromones on the skin, it produces a scent unique to each person,
everyone
which
has...
the wearer often cannot detect.
So everyone
which we have anyway,
pheromones,
obviously.
Isn't there? So
that sometimes... is a very strong
Amazing.
Smell of araldite.
You've literally got to just hope for the best. You
it's
put
Kate
it
Moss.
On and hope for the best.
Kate Moss turning around in a restaurant.
Can anyone else smell bitumen? Oh, that's Christy Turlington. She's splashed a bit on.
But also, what if it's not the one for you and you don't have no fucking idea? Do you know what I mean?
Well, then you could try one of the others in the range.
Is someone around here mixing a gallon of cement? That'd be Naomi Campbell. She's got the new perfume on. It just brings up all sorts of random smells.
Specifically a gallon.
Yeah.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just before you move on to another story, because I just want to quickly just top Trump, Rob, on the dry hands. You've been getting a bit of dry hands. I'm just gonna show you there. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Wow.
Let me just click you back onto Zoom.
Barry's got a big scar across his hand.
Just showing you, yeah. So I had an operation a couple of weeks ago on my hand. I've got a condition called Dupuytren's contracture, which basically pulls your fingers. It's lumps in your hand that pulls the tendons in and pulls your hands into a sort of claw shape.
Ouch. So, is it painful?
It's quite achy and quite bad. And if you fall flat and your hand goes, it forces your hand
flat. It's only painful if you try and pick something up or flatten your hand or something.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you walk around all day with your hands out in front of you like
as
a lobster,
as you
like
don't
I guess.
Mind claw stuff. Like,
and when
you
high five someone, does it go like that?
Yes, I can't do it. I can't
high
do
five.
High five. Yeah,
you can't.
Very cut. A very cut hand. So I had
you
the
do
operation.
A high cup. You can give Barry a high cup.
Barry, is that why you went for this operation? You wanted to do high fives again?
That's mainly. Yeah.
Is that the worst thing about it?
Yeah.
High fives and press ups.
It sounds like that could be a 6-part Netflix documentary. Barry just wanted to high five again.
I should have had a GoFundMe.
And then at the end, he does one and he misses.
Slow mo, big slow mo.
Yeah. Well, it's so rusty.
Rusty. So
well, that's series two, isn't it, Sham? Yeah. What you doing? You're giving it somewhere to go in series two.
So I had the operation, which was ostensibly a success. So as far as I knew, it was in a cast, and I went back a couple of days ago to Kingston Hospital to have the start hand therapy, and they take the cast off. And the weirdest thing, so I've sat there, they cut off the cast, and I look at it, and it was nowhere near as bad as it looked when I had it done a few years ago, the same operation. I felt absolutely fine. She took out a couple of stitches, a slight sting, absolutely fine. I suddenly went, oh, I feel a bit woozy. Mm. I wake up, three people around me. They gave me oxygen, right? They said, they were fanning me, the nurses. I said, how long was I out? And she said, about 30 seconds to a minute. And I got really worried.
Since Wednesday.
So I thought you'd, she goes, I thought your airwaves are blocked because you were snoring. So I think what happened is I fainted and then my body just went, I'm quite knackered while I'm
so
here.
Might as well
have a little sleep.
Actually, this is really nice.
And yeah, and then they wanted to take me in a wheelchair to hand therapy, which was four doors up. And I was like, I'm fine. I walk. I was drenched in sweat.
Oh,
and they put me on oxygen. Yeah. And then they said, they were going to walk me up. And then they said, who's your next of kin? And I'm like, what? And they went, are you getting picked up or anything? Is my girlfriend's coming to get me. She said, should we get her to come in for the hand therapy, basically, just to be with me, not for any other reason? I went, no, she's got the dog with her. And to be honest, he won't fit through the doors.
You don't want him in here.
Yeah,
there is no hospital big enough.
I properly passed out. Like, I mean, I was out cold.
Oh, mate,
that's mad. And
I didn't even. I didn't even feel like it was painful or anything. But
no.
But yeah. So anyway, you and your dry hands.
It's so funny that you started snoring.
Talking to dogs. You want your second frothy story?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Takeaway pizza driver left in stitches.
Ooh, talking about stitches.
Great link.
This is the best link show we've ever done.
They should call this episode The Platter. The silver platter.
Takeaway pizza driver left in stitches by customer's warning on delivery instructions. Food delivery app. We're all aware of those, aren't you?
Yep.
You've used a food delivery app like Deliveroo.
Change the face of the high street.
This one's based in Hartlepool. Food delivery app, Hartlepool Eats, shared a photo of the delivery instructions a customer had left on their order for pizza and chips, containing a brilliant warning message for the driver. Right. An Italian restaurant has left people in hysterics after sharing a customer's creative use of the special delivery instructions. All right, yeah, you know when you can put instructions to the driver, can't you? If you've got a delivery, you can go, if I'm nobody in, leave it around the back under the thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. Behind the bins, whatever.
What, your meal?
Not your meal.
Yeah, just leave my meal right by the bins.
Just leave it by
please.
The bins. Don't worry about covering it. It'll be fine.
An Italian restaurant has left people in hysterics after sharing a customer's creative use of the special delivery instructions on their order for a takeaway.
Yeah.
Hartlepool Eats, a food delivery service app, shared a photo of the receipt from Bianco's Deli on Facebook with the caption, "I love the richness of Hartlepool vocabulary." The customer had simply warned the driver, "Just a heads up, pal. Me dog's a fucking raff and barks at nout."
amazing.
What's the Hartlepool accent there, Rob? You're from up north. You'll probably get it. Well,
what's the word in again?
Just a heads up, pal. Me dogs.
Just a heads up, pal. Aye.
Me dogs are fucking raff.
Me dogs are fucking raff.
And barks at note.
And barks at note. Me dogs are fucking raff.
That's so sweet for him to warn the delivery guy.
why does it need fucking... I have nothing against swearing. I enjoy it.
When you speak Welsh, you swear a lot.
I swear a lot, yes.
I don't tend to swear when I write things.
Especially to people you've never met.
Just a heads up on me, dogs are fucking raff and barks at note.
It's great, isn't it? Do you reckon when he used to do his work at school and get put, 10th of fucking April, 2021.
It's very much, swearing like,
dear,
it's very much
dear
a spoken
fucking
thing.
Sir or madam.
He's like a Vin Welsh, this guy.
Yeah. Yours fucking sincerely.
No, yours since fucking Sealy. Since fucking Sealy. Let's get it in the middle of a word if we can.
Have you been to Hartlepool before?
I must have done gigs there. Surely we must have all done gigs there, surely. Mm. Why, Barry? I sense a story.
I went to Hartlepool and I had a gig and I went to the museum. I had some time to kill and I went to the Hartlepool Museum. They've got this, it's a Royal Navy Museum there, and they've got a couple of interesting exhibits. And then as you go around, they've obviously just run out of stuff. And these are genuine exhibits, and I'll put these on social media, right? There's one here, I don't know if you can see this, right? It's just a bathroom cabinet.
Right? That's a fucking great exhibit, this is, that, Barry.
Right, with a packet of 10 mobile lights. It's a genuine exhibit. It's got Barocca, Imodium, and a packet of 10 mobile lights, genuinely in the Hartlepool Museum.
That's everything you need there, Barry.
And then... then they've got this is another exhibit there. It's a ready meal of a chicken tagliatelle.
That looks lush. Right? That looks honest, lush. Right?
And it actually says, Barry, can you rewind? Right.
Yeah,
what
rewind.
Sort of museum is this?
Is it a museum of what?
It's the Hartlepool
Good
Royal
things.
Navy Museum. Well, it's the Museum of Hartlepool and
the
Royal
local
Navy
shop.
Museum. Yeah, and it's got in there. It's
and convenient loads. Stuff.
Are you oh, sure what? You weren't in the tuck shop at the end, Barry?
Yeah. Is this the
co-op? I was flabbergasted when I saw it. And the other one, the ready meal, it's got, this is what it says. Here, there's a little like thing like you get in museums.
Like
little
underneath.
Description,
little...
and it says, microwave ovens started to become popular during the 1970s and helped lead to rapid growth in the production of convenience foods. Foods like this are ready cooked and only need heating up once before eating. It's even got a £2 for £3 sticker on it.
How weird. That sounds fucking brilliant. That museum, Barry, like...
A packet of 10 mobile lights in a bathroom cabinet.
A couple of smokes after your ready meal. Perfect, isn't it?
It's absolutely
that
mental.
Sounds amazing.
Is it unusual to have an exhibit of something talking about it like it's from the past when it's a completely current piece of technology?
Yeah,
it's
so bizarre.
Shan's right.
I know, but we've still got them and they've barely changed.
Morrison's chicken tagliatelle. As an exhibit in the Royal
from
Navy
the
Hartlepool Museum.
How weird, though, Shan. You're unlikely to see like a microwave made by Sharp or a brand like that from the 80s. You know, there's not many of them left anymore, is it, kid? Or like Neff or Philips, but you wouldn't find a fucking Sharp one. That's in a museum.
When I got to the gig, though, I noticed they had a projector. It was this big town hall, and there was a projector on the screen.
You got a fucking projector.
So I was like, right, I'm gonna tell this story about these, because I've taken pictures of it. So I spoke to the guy who did the tech. Can I get a picture up on the screen behind me? And he was like, yeah, no worries. So I was like, okay. So I emailed him the two photos. All right. I mean, this is so unbelievable. I've got to talk about this in the gig. I didn't realize how slowly the screen came down. So I'm like, so I had a look around your town earlier. And so, sorry, Jim, can we... Okay, so can we get the first picture, please? So I saw this, and I explained like I just did to you. And there's a packet of mobile lights. They're just looking at me like, yeah, it's normal, right? And then I show the second picture. I go, look at this chicken tagliatelle, £2 for £3. Nothing. I mean, silence. And I'm like, okay, thanks very much, Jim. As the screen goes back up, really slowly, with no laughs. No laughs.
Well, that was worth it.
Isn't there a colloquial term people from Hartlepool are called monkey hangers?
Yes.
Because, legendarily, they hung a monkey. So like putting a pack of fags in a museum.
Hang on. Yeah. They thought the monkey was a Frenchman.
French naval officer.
Fucking hunger bastard.
And, absolutely brilliant story.
And it was clattering on about fucking microwaves like they exist. And
I mean, hang on
bastard.
A minute. I mean, I presume this has been dissected in other areas, but what is the Hartlepool hanging a monkey?
They thought he was French.
But how long did he get away with being French, this monkey? I mean, how long?
I don't know. Was he wearing like onions or something? They went to the
ship.
A couple of years. He got married to a local lady. And
how long was he in town before he was rumbled as a French
man? Well, before they took a dislike to him.
Yeah, at first he was quite suave. He enjoyed fine food, fine wines. You know,
non-scented perfume.
Exactly. Liked them fucking art house films. Yeah. You know.
He lived in Hartlepool for 4 years before they wrote. A lot of people knew there was something. Something wasn't right.
Something wrong with. Why is John Claude in that fucking tree again? Is that a prehensile teal?
John Claude
with a beret on.
That's mad.
Talking about fucking poetry.
They captured him from a ship. He was the mascot, apparently. I think the story goes.
They didn't actually think he was French, like a Frenchman.
Yeah, no, they did. They went and got him from the ship, but the other people had escaped.
Come on, I can believe. That there's a museum in Hartlepool with a microwave meal in it. I can't believe that the people of Hartlepool found a monkey and went. I think he's just a French guy.
We learned about it in school.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if it was part of the syllabus, but I'm sure.
In what defence, Rod? It was quite dark at the time.
Legend has it that during the Napoleonic Wars, early 19th century, a shipwrecked monkey was hanged by the people of Hartlepool, believing him to be a French spy.
Right. Now wait.
Yeah.
Animals have a long history of being used in warfare for things like spying, you know, pigeons and things like that. There's a long history of this. So they didn't just think, hang on, what's that? I think it must be a Frenchman.
Hang on. No, but the pigeons themselves aren't spies. They're just used.
No, but they thought... What I'm saying is they thought he was a monkey, but he was some kind of spying thing for the French. They didn't think that's what a Frenchman looks like.
I think
the monkey was wearing,
people of Hartlepool didn't know what a monkey that was.
I think the monkey was wearing like a trilby hat, sunglasses, a brown coat, was looking through a newspaper.
I don't care if he's wearing a blue and white stripy top, riding a bike with a string of onions around his neck and a beret. He's still not going to think he's a Frenchman.
Oh, hang on. No, listen to this.
This is interesting.
The reason for killing the monkey appears to have been the rule that villagers could only claim salvage rights of a shipwreck if there were no survivors. That's a new twist.
So my suspicion that it wasn't as simple as they went, what's that? That must be a Frenchman. I mean,
oh, come on.
I remember when they showed the PG Tips advert in Hartlepool.
What's all this French stuff?
And that's good. They taught them to speak English. Fucking amazing.
Is this a new episode of Hello, Hello?
Good job we haven't got my mum on this week. She wouldn't like this story.
No, your mum would hate this.
Oh, we must not talk about hanging monkeys. I mean, she wouldn't mind if it was a Frenchman.
Does she not like monkeys? Is she very fond of monkeys, you mean?
Oh, Rob.
Rob.
Oh, very God. Fond is not the word, mate.
She's obsessed.
That doesn't cover it.
Obsessed. Yeah. Yeah.
Obsessed only just scratches the surface.
She's a monkey correspondent. And she really is.
We have a feature on this podcast, which you'd know if you listen to it, Rob, called Apes of Froth.
It's wonderful.
Where we talk to Barry's mum, Viv, and her partner Ian about their collection of over 100 cuddly monkeys.
Oh, wow.
And they are amazing. Insane.
Season tickets for Monkey World. And the Bovington Tank Museum.
This is how insane they are, Rob.
Well, those two go together, don't they?
Oh, they're
next door.
They're really close geographically. We spoke to them a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, and we said, you know, how have you been coping? Because they go to Monkey World every 3 weeks for the last 20 years. And we said, how are you coping on lockdown? And they said, well, you know the roadmap, April the 12th, is everyone's thinking, the pubs open outdoors, I think hairdressers and stuff. You'll have your own reasons for...
Yeah, of course. Memorising
that date, whether it's hairdressers, pubs opening outside, whatever it might be.
They
are hoping to drive down the night before lockdown restrictions ease to get into Monkey World early on the 12th.
Wow. So bearing in mind, as you can't stay in a hotel till the 12th.
They'll have to sleep in the car.
Yeah, they'll have to sleep in the car.
As
you do when you want to get to Monkey World really early.
He's got a property in Bournemouth, so they're not too far. That's probably part of the reason they got.
They'll stay there.
Yeah,
they'll stay there.
Yeah.
Mad.
I mean, they bought that to be nearer Monkey World, didn't they?
Yeah. I tell you, I imagine the monkeys must find it quite weird seeing regular faces in there.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a thrill out of masturbating. It's a stranger that monkeys like to do. There we go.
Just weird now.
Yeah. I can't throw my own shit at them again.
Oh, God.
What do you want as your last story? Do you want self-driving slippers? Or dogs being right-handed?
What am I?
Oh, either of them. They're both good, aren't they?
What have we done so far?
I tell you, if you want to keep the platter theme, Rosie's basically chosen the last story, hasn't
she? Yeah.
Rosie's chosen the last story.
Yes.
Barry, you've got a dog, Alan.
I do.
Is he right or left-handed, would you say?
I reckon right. Oh no, I reckon maybe left actually, because when he gives paw, he goes with his left.
Does he?
He's left, my right. Looking at him.
I mean, what other evidence is there?
But you think is that there must be a reason why he's doing that.
His penmanship.
He's left-handed. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Baz,
Bill.
Which hand do you put out? Do you put?
I think
a hand
our
out?
Bill's right-handed.
Oh, maybe it's because I'm right-handed. I'm going. Ooh, to
yeah, is Bill a dog though?
Yeah, Bill's a dog.
Right. We've got Bill and Ron.
So Ron, yeah, Ron's.
Ron.
Ron's right. I think Ron's right pawed. Hard to tell. Ron's now 14, and he's hard as fucking nails. Ron, like he's when we used to live in Crystal Palace.
When he's boxing, what does he lead with?
Well, if you can see it, he hits you with the left and the right comes over. It's all done. It's all done. But he was the hardest dog in Crystal Palace, without a shadow of a doubt.
Was he?
And now he's the hardest dog in the Peak District. But he's really old, but he's still the hardest dog in the Peak District.
Like that old gangster down the pub.
Do you think Rosie's right or left-handed, Sean?
I don't know. Right, probably.
Why?
Oh, I'm thinking paws. I think she's right.
All right. Dogs are more likely to be right-handed.
Oh.
A study of 17,901 dogs.
Oh, go on then. Let's do him as well. Yeah. Do the old one. Go on.
It's one at the end. We've done 17,900.
Okay. What did you do?
I've been waiting out here for 3 weeks in this queue.
Oh.
Bring your dog, you said, were you? Don't even live round you. Study of 17,901 UK dogs found 74% used a preferred paw when reaching for food. Not asking, not begging, not doing paw, when reaching.
What do you mean reaching for food?
I don't know. I've never seen Rosie reach for food. She always just sticks her head in it.
She reaches for stuff. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. Getting it off a shelf.
Getting it off a shelf? Like, in the back of the cupboard? What are we talking about?
Does she get on the? Does she steal food off tables, Rosie?
Yes. Oh, God,
if she can reach it, we had a lasagna once.
She's got a really long snout, so she uses her mouth.
We had a lasagna that was waiting to go in the oven, and we went out for a little bit. Came back, we thought it was out of reach of the dog, and it was half out of reach of the dog. And from the full dish, it was like it had a piece of glass through the middle of it. It was completely polished.
No
where Ron
way.
Had clearly wolfed down everything he could reach and then polished the edge, limit of his reach, with the tip of his tongue. And it was like a mirror finish. And that half of the dish was so clean it could have gone back in the cupboard. It was incredible. So he just took an inch off it, popped
I was
going to
say, what did he do? He just took a slither off.
Yeah.
An inch. Hang on. A study of 17,901 UK dogs found 74% used a preferred paw when reaching for food. Of those, 58.3% used the right. Oh, the right paw. And female dogs are more likely to be right pawed than the males.
Why?
I don't know. Paw preference makes animals better at tasks.
What?
I don't know. About 90% of humans are right-handed. It's a shit story, that, isn't it?
What?
I don't even know. I don't even know if I'm right or left-handed. And I don't know how to work it out.
We were talking about this the other day.
Did we work it out?
Certain things like writing, and then left for other things.
Yeah.
Like,
so what does that mean?
Sport? Is it ambidextrous?
I can't remember. I'm sure somebody told me once how to work it out, but
that was great. That was as you say, Rod, a bit of a crap story masquerading in disguise as a good one.
Yeah, it was.
It was like one of those Steve Wright factoids, wasn't it? Jamie Lee Grace, you've got a factoid. Yes, Steve, 65% of dogs are right-handed. Another one of those tomorrow. Okay. Cats have got no word for spaghetti. Back to you, Steve.
And it didn't tell us anything about... It didn't tell us anything about anything, did it? Other than dogs are more likely to be right-handed.
And female dogs.
And female dogs.
And that they tested loads of dogs and then one at the end.
Yeah. Why would you test 17,401 dogs or whatever it was?
Life
and then all you say is that at the end of it?
Yes. It's a full finding. Yeah. It's testament to our craft that we managed to spin this story out into something really, really listenable, isn't it? That, you know.
Yeah. Right. So that is one of the worst stories we've ever had, I think.
Yeah. But are we going to choose
terrible.
Which
I don't even
know
what to say about it. What?
It was very frothy, wasn't it? It was absolute froth. Because I think that was probably one of the most frothy things we've ever talked about. Because the more you dug into it, the less there was.
The less information there was.
Which is what froth is, isn't it?
The more I read, the less there was to go on.
Yeah, I remember when our kids were born and we'd take them out to a cafe and the craze of a baby Chino occurred.
Oh,
which
God,
was
yeah.
just some milk froth. And they had the temerity to charge 30p for it. And it was just like a bit of milk just gone.
30p, you can get a lamb down here for that.
Yeah,
you
that's a week.
You could put a lamb on, you could put a sheep on my land for 4 days for that.
Or a full week if it doesn't eat much.
Yeah, baby chino.
What are we going to do with this sheep farm?
Hey, Rod, how much to drive around one of your fields in a Land Rover and, like, really fucking churn it up? I'm just thinking of different ways you can make money.
That's a great idea.
I don't know. I'll have to Google it.
How much to run a paintball business without safety?
We could do hen parties.
An unregulated paintball experience.
An unregulated hay. Just put some bales of hay in the middle.
We could just specialise in unregulated stuff.
Imagine. Yeah.
You've got
out
a car,
paint.
You want to burn it out? I've got a field. Yeah. 100 quid, mate. You want to torch your car?
Just like go gorilla. Like, not quite go eight, but you just let's just put up some really rickety ladders in between
lethal.
Trees.
And... My God.
Oh, right. Well, look out. Watch this space for our unregulated carnage centre that we're going to open on our land.
Unregulated carnage
centre. We're just going to advertise it in the local paper for people. Yeah, not go ape. It's just go fucking mental land. It's just land where you can just run as fast as you like into a tree.
Do what you want.
Stick your head in a bird box. You can fucking...
Like international
water. We'll get a dog that just bites you on the dick as out and you can just... It's like an amusement park, but just for fucking nutters.
Burn stuff.
Unregulated.
You want to film a new Jackass film? I've got the police for you. Top Gear, you want to just fucking fire cannons and that? No problem, top field, mate.
This is where we come to relax. Imagine. Stench of petrol.
Selling homemade fireworks out the bomb. Yeah.
I've got Elon Musk What's in that? The bottom field doing a launch.
What's that? I'm just taking a call from the...
Joke's on him, though. It cost him 90 pence.
Just taking a call from the Cheltenham Nuclear War Society. They want to come down and stage one of their costume nuclear wars in the top field.
We're going to do some battle reenactments. Oh, what, Second World War? No, it's going to be napalm from Vietnam.
It's a Vietnam
like
reenactment.
The night manager. Okay.
Yeah, do keep the nuclear war down because I've got the girl guides in the field next door. Yeah. And I'm not getting into another argument with Brown Owl.
Oh, right. Now listen, which one of those is your frothiest?
The last one we've established.
Definitely the shittiest story of that is that most dogs are right-handed, and that is the frothiest story of the week. Congratulations. That's it. Brilliant. That's all we've got time for.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Well, what it's always such a treat to chat to you three lovely people. Anytime. You're welcome in Hawaii whenever you want to come.
Well, hang on, I think I can hear our first booking coming down the road in a banana boat. a speedboat coming into the garden with a banana boat behind it. What do you want to plug?
Oh, I'll plug my Patreon because I'll still be doing
that. Plug your Patreon.
I have enjoyed doing stuff online and I'm going to keep doing that even when we're doing gigs and stuff. So it's patreon.com/Rob Rouse and I put sketches, podcasts, songs.
You put it up every day, don't you?
Every day, Monday to Friday, Roger. Yeah, Monday to Friday.
You're a prolific content provider on Patreon.
It is prolific.
What sort of stuff is it?
Last week we had, he's not here now, but he's a bit broken. I had Neil Young. Hang on, where's Neil?
I had Neil Young came on the show. Neil Young, where's his eyes? Neil Young, had Neil Young, and Neil...
We released, Neil did a big release recently on Patreon, which was called the Neil Young Beard Trimmer Incident, where there's a song written and performed by Neil about this, because I don't know if you know, he's married to Daryl Hannah now from Splash, who's a bit younger than him.
Yeah.
And when she goes out, he parades around in her old mermaid suits, but... Neil was feeling rather worried about the fact that he was feeling a bit old next to Daryl. And she watched a lot of Love Island. So Neil ended up trying to shave his bits and bobs to, like the young shiny boys do on Love Island.
With Love Island, yeah.
Yeah, he was quite nasty, actually. He caught himself just on the seam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he cut nicked a follicle off, and there was quite an event. Anyway, so he wrote a song about that, like all great art comes from pain, and it's called the Neil Young Beard Trimmer Incident. That's on there.
Oh, I thought it was going to be something about the needle and the damage done.
Well, no, it's very much in that style.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's that era of production, needle and the damage done, you know, every...
Harvest, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's in that area there, and he talks about... I nicked my nutsack in a hotel room. And it's a song about nicking his nutsack. And it's something like that every day, basically.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
I think that's plugged it.
Do you want to close the show with the Neil Young nutsack beard trimmer incident?
All right, stick it on.
Should we bang it on now? Let me just see. I can play you a bit down the Zoom mic Barry.
We'll say our goodbyes over the Neil Young.
Over the Neil Young.
Are you getting any of that?
Yes.
Just about.
I nicked my nutsack in a hotel room.
So, that's all we got time for. Thanks to our...
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks to our very special guest, Rob Rouse.
Wait!
Who you can catch on patreon.com/Rob Rouse.
Shows with all those guys who are smoother than a baby's bottom.
You've got to do your bit now, Shan, of the goodbye link.
I can't focus. What am I supposed to
do? You can contact us on social media at The Froth Podcast. And don't forget the new email facility, which is hello@thefrothpodcast.com. This was a Land Mobile Vision production. Produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions. If you enjoyed it, tell your friends. Don't forget to rate us at 5 stars, share it, all that stuff. Like, subscribe, and check out Rob Rouse.
Thanks for listening.
On patreon.com. See you, Rob.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Barry. See you, everyone. Ta-da.
Speak to you soon.
Bye, love.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.